Welcome to Knights of Roleplay, an adventuring podcast. This is an actual play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Royalty-free music provided by Kevin MacLeod, Michael Gelfie Studios, Plate Mill Games, and Tabletop Audio. And now, to adventure. Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Knights of Roleplay. I'm DM Chris. This session is being recorded over Zoom. As our adventure begins, the date is Chargaroth 23rd, 3252 AD. You have recently returned from deep within White Province. While there, you discovered a platinum egg in a structure in the ice. The structure appeared to have been built by an ancient metallic race known as the Colossi. Ophelia, the young clairvoyant who sent you to retrieve the egg, has given you another mission to explore a temple ruin located in Green Province. Your plan is to stay another day in the capital city of Shikar. So, adventurers, how would you like to proceed?
Well, I, for one, am glad that we have a chance to get off the road for a little while. I'm going to go do some shopping. Anybody else want to go do some shopping? Shopping's good.
I don't really see the point of your shopping, but I will accompany you.
Tag along, why not? Safe.
I am also looking for maybe a good ale of some kind. That is my shopping.
It's still morning, man.
Point of clarity, did we leave the egg at Barton's Provisions with Ophelia and her father?
I believe we did.
I mean, that's up to you guys. You can tell me.
We'd probably do what she wanted us to do. If she wanted us to leave it, then I'd probably feel it was safer there than being out on my back where someone might eventually figure out what it is. But
screw you. I do what I want.
Yeah, I mean.
Fine, you carry it.
They can. her and her father can basically hide it at the shop.
Okay.
So what's the plan? Where are you guys headed? What do you want to do?
Sounds like we're just going to be a day of shopping, rest, and just getting prepped up for next long
exploring
trek.
The community at large.
Once we get done shopping, Z's probably going to steer you guys to her favorite bar haunt, where she knows that her sage mentors from the monastery, the ones who got her into the drunken master path of training, where they tend to hang out, because one of her mentors has ties to the council, so she might ask a little bit about the guy who is looking for things.
Discreetly.
Yeah, discreetly.
Discreetly.
Yes. Of course. Always. Right.
Does Z know what discreet means?
Yeah, that'll be great. It'll be fun.
I could give you a definition.
Do you think I would listen?
No.
It's much better to go off the cuff than it is to listen. Why are we standing here now?
Let's go shopping. Where do you want to go shopping, Andy?
Well, at the very least, I need to restock on my rations, and probably everybody else does too. And
sure.
I also needed to pick up a
component pouch.
Yeah, component pouch. I thought I already put that in my character sheet earlier.
Pretty sure John's the only person that's tracking rations.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Pretty sure I've never played a game where I ever had to, so.
I was we all have to get rations, right? And everybody's like,
Oh, yeah, that's right. We need to eat. Well, most of us do anyway.
Right. What does this eat you speak of?
I have a mess kit. I don't even know if I have rations. Oh, wait, I see rations. Never mind.
Everybody starts with rations.
One day, so I would have been out of luck.
Let's see. Oh, I can sell off my old leather armor.
Probably sure. And you can basically just put whatever you want in your inventory that you need.
Okay.
It's totally fine.
So I can sell it off for however much I want? Okay, cool.
I think it's half price.
Yeah.
Mundane items.
Well, what if I go with him and try to talk up the barter?
If you want to, you can
I'm
do that.
Kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Chris is like, please don't make me roleplay the shopping adventure, please.
That's fun.
I'm 50-50 on those on Critical Role. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, check out. And then other times I'm like, oh, this is fun. So after shopping, Z, you're going to lead them to the place where your mentors tend to frequent?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That is correct. I'll look up my notes so I remember what their names are. Because it's been a rough night.
You don't even remember your mentor's names? How much drinking do you do?
I mean, in character, do you have to ask that question? Out of character, our daughter gave up pacifiers last night, and it was rough.
I know.
Bit of drinking, bit of fighting. What's a few concussions, you know, so you forget a few.
A few punches to the face. It's all good.
So I'm going to use the Roll and Play Game Master's Fantasy Toolkit to roll up the name of this tavern.
Ooh.
That you are going
yes.
to.
Ooh. Here we go. Where do the dice lead us today?
The spooky sponge.
Let's see. Have a drink at the...
Forgot to actually get my dice out.
At the Windy... Oops, that's not the right die, Chris. But I'll keep that roll. At the Windy... at the Windy Chicken.
What is it with chickens?
I don't know if I want to be around a windy chicken myself.
Yeah, the Chicken Griffin Inn. Was that one of those times?
I am very
at?
Entertained, given we have a couple mildly chicken obsessed folks in this group. I think it's cute. Sarah's like guilty.
I'm pointing to my crazy chicken lady sign behind me.
Now I get it. That's awesome. I love it.
Yet right. Another place named Chicken. Unbelievable.
Writing down on my notes here. Windy.
Clearly, these
chicken.
People are not very creative in the ways that they name their cities and their inns. They just look at what's around them. Seems fishy to me, and yet it comes up chicken.
Right.
Are there chickens outside the inn? Just running around?
There might be, you know. These big city probably wouldn't last very long.
So you go to the Windy Chicken Tavern. and you go inside and you're looking for your mentors, right, Kate?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I guess you're getting your... you're getting your ale after all.
Oh, I figured we spent the day shopping. This is probably about dinner time, right? Unless Chris says otherwise. So it's like, it's about that time.
That's
dinner
fine.
And drink and playing for those who want to play.
So you go into the tavern and you do see your dragonborn mentor, Dargan.
Okay.
You don't see
Dargan
the other
the
mentors.
Dargan the dragon.
Yeah. Yes,
that was the name she had on her sheet. So.
Yeah, Dargan. Yep.
So you see him basically over at the bar, drinking. You know, people are in there just kind of having a good time.
All right. Is she gonna go over? What's that?
I'm gonna let her go ahead and do what she wants to do for information gathering. I'm going to do some rounds, a little bit of gambling.
Well, before you do that, because she has no subtlety, is she going to drag you all over and smack him on the back and say, Dargan, old friend, how are you doing? Here, meet my new friends. And she's going to introduce you all.
Okay.
Yeah. Taco does not like that at all.
Z, yes. It's good to see you, Z. And these are your friends.
Yeah, good to see
Hello.
You.
Hello.
Hi. All right. Well, I think a couple of them are going to go play some music for us. We'll see how they do.
Nah, I'm not in the mood for a drop.
No?
I'm in the mood for a bit of gambling.
Oh.
And some bar games.
Do you have a drink, young man? even though you're not young.
But I'll sit and entertain Dargan for a little while.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
It's nice to meet you. So, you've known Z for a while, huh? I bet you've got a few stories to tell about some of your adventures.
Yeah, she's always drinking and fighting all the time. She's really a lot of fun. She was really fun to teach, you know. Okay, what color dragonborn is Dargan?
That's a good question.
I figured, you know, we're doing the collaborative world building, so you can tell me what dragonborn color he is.
Let's say that he's green. Maybe that's part of why he was drawn to taking in a root folk student, because he has the vibe for green and she's out of green province.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've written down green dragonborn.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So what brings you here today, Z?
Well, we're wandering around charting trouble, as you know we like to do. Came across a name from the council, and I know you know some folks there, so I just wanted to feel out.
And which name might that be?
Well, Zathul.
Ah.
She drops her voice. She's being more subtle now.
Sure.
For her.
Yeah, Zathul plays games to amuse himself. And he puts a great deal of effort into making sure the council maintains its power. He's been known to discourage any policy that might lower the amount paid to the tribute.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of lowers his voice a little bit and says, it is rumored that he has agents working secretly to further his goals without the knowledge or the consent of the other council members. You need to watch out for him. I mean, the entire council is power hungry and largely corrupt, but you didn't hear that from me.
Well, yeah, I mean, none of us would say that too loud around certain people. I think we get what you're saying. So
he's a bit of a... So he likes to play games of power, is what you're saying, not necessarily games of chance.
Yeah, he sets some trouble.
Why have you encountered... Well, why are you asking about Zathul?
Well, we've been doing some adventuring and just finding some cool stuff, and he apparently sent some people after us to get the cool stuff without telling you too much here. I don't want to get you in trouble either. I know you have ties there.
Yeah, sure. I understand. How did you find out about this stuff? And he kind of makes air quotes.
Treasure bags.
We get around, you know.
Do it. Yeah. Don't say how. Don't do it.
Yeah. No.
I'm just staring you down right now.
Yeah.
I'm just curious how Zathul, I would want you to think about your source and Zathul's source. Try to figure out if there is some sort of a connection, or if there's obviously not a connection.
Yeah.
Maybe how did he also know? That would be something concerning that you might want to look into.
Okay.
I'm not trying to pry. I'm just giving you something to think about, since I'm looking out for you. How did he know?
That is a good question. I don't know how to tackle that exactly.
Just something to think about. Have a drink.
Yes, have a drink. Erebus puts two drinks down on the counter.
I mean, the only thing I know about this Dargan is that apparently Z knows him.
Yeah.
So I would like to try an insight check to see does he seem trustworthy to me? My insight's kind of sucky, but I'd at least like to try.
It's okay. I mean, you know, inside is a little tricky. Some people think it's like a lie detector, which it's not. And that doesn't apply here anyway, but you're just trying to get a sense of who he is. So right. Go ahead and make an inside check for me, John.
11.
11. I mean, your read on him is fairly neutral. You only know what like what you've heard from Z, and right now he seems perfectly legit. You don't get any sort of a sketchy vibe.
Okay.
Seems fine.
Aqua being Aqua. Yeah. I would actually like to use one of my new features that came with my new roguish archetype.
Okay, cool.
Which is Ear for Deceit.
Okay.
Which allows me to treat anything below seven or lower on an insight check as an 8.
Okay.
Because I legit want to know if anything he's saying seems untrustworthy.
Sure. So it's also an insight check?
Yeah. And it's not like I'm going to sit there and say, okay, hey, I trust this guy. Everybody should listen to me. So it seems legit to me that somebody else would be willing to do that.
He might do that. Well,
you may also make an insight check, Sarah. Yeah, I'm a little surprised, Kate, that they're all like questioning this person at the party member.
I also got an 11, so
similar read.
I did not question anything about him.
I'm an analytic fucking weirdo. Okay.
I'm cheers in his glass as we are speaking.
Yeah, you and him are like getting crunk together.
All of you have not been adventuring together for very long. You just met each other.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't think it's unreasonable for people to be wondering if this person is legit.
There's trust, but it's not yet implicit.
Yes.
I am a suspicious crystal lady.
Okay. I'm trying to decide that Z might, as she drinks a little more while still trying to be a little cautious of what she says, she'd almost like to ask him about, like, because he has the ties to the council. If he, does he know, like, if they have people who specialize in flavors of magic, like clairvoyance or scrying and things like that? But I don't know if she honestly has the knowledge to even ask those questions. That's the thing that I I don't want to overreach what she would know as a character, although that's probably like as the wheels start turning, as he's tried to get her to think about, like, how is it that people know what we were doing?
I guess that would be more a question of how much knowledge does the general populace have of how magic is used in the world?
Right. And obviously, like, we have some exposure to
This is a very typical D&D high fantasy setting. Everybody knows what magic is. Everybody has seen it in their lives. People probably know people who are wizards and sorcerers and warlocks. So, magic is very common.
And obviously, we now know what clairvoyance and telepathy is, if we didn't before, because we're working with someone who has it, right?
So, yeah, I mean, there are flavors of magic that produce, you know, sort of psychic abilities. And again, it's not uncommon knowledge that there are people that have psionics, which, you know, for most people, it's just another flavor of magic. It's just part of the flow of magic that permeates throughout the world. So psionics and magic, it's all kind of one and the same for most people. So, I mean, you can ask anything that you think your character might want to ask, and it's totally, totally up to you.
She might be like, hypothetically speaking, with your knowledge of the council, you're trying to make me think about why they might be tracking what me and my friends are doing.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know if Zethul has in his employ any people who are skilled in magics involving clairvoyance or, I don't know, scrying, stuff like that? Would they be potentially looking for specific things that you know of or have heard of?
I believe that Zethul would have such people in his employ. I can't specifically say that I know anyone, but given his idiosyncrasies and proclivities to control and play games, I would say that it would be very logical that he would have somebody with some sort of scrying or clairvoyant psychic kind of abilities. I would probably assume that he would have someone like that close to him.
Hmm.
But I can't confirm that.
Hmm. Yeah, it makes me wonder if he's paranoid about some kind of prophecy or something. But again, you have more of an ear to them than me.
He's trying so hard, so much more than the other members, to ensure that the council maintains their power. You know, employing psychic abilities, clairvoyance, scrying, to try to make sure that no one can take down the council is just the kind of thing that I think he would do.
Hmm.
Honestly, in his position, he'd probably be fooled not to.
That might shed some light on the situation.
Hmm.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, let's see, hold on one second. Let me look at my notes here for a second. And let's see. The other... So the blue... So he says... the blue dragonborn council member name of Sokor is sees value in relationships with others, and I would say is probably the most they're all a little corrupt, but Sokor is more willing to talk with people and sees value in relationships with others, whereas Zathul is just looking for people to exploit. So I don't know if you could speak with Sokor or not. I don't know that he would speak out against another member of the council. It's just something I wanted to share, something to think about. You know, yeah. Sokor is probably the most approachable, but they are all still somewhat reclusive and power hungry, and you know, a little scared to interact with a lot of the public.
I get it. It's the difference between strength in arms and strength in numbers.
Right.
You could say that, yeah.
Hmm. All right.
And then he takes a swig of some ale.
Yeah, I don't know if we got enough to go and try to get an audience with a member of the council yet. That seems a little...
I understand. Just something to think about.
...risky with our current position. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, thank you. We appreciate it. I mean, would you say out of all of them, like, is he the most open to the council changing, if they were ever going to change how they interact with the rest of the populace?
I would think so. I mean, he probably feels pressure from the rest of the council to maintain the status quo, but I believe that he would probably be the most open to change if he thought that it could happen in a way that would not cause some kind of chaos and uproar.
Okay. Can you remind me who else is on the council? Do you know all the names?
Yes. The white dragonborn is Garrix, and the black dragonborn is Drex, and the green dragonborn is Morphos.
All right, thanks for jogging my memory on that.
Sure, Izzy. Yeah. I'm really happy to see you. Good to see you too.
She's been getting a few too many
you can,
jogs.
See if you can still outdrink me, old man. She's back off to the. She's going to dance with everybody in the bar who she ever knew, who had been there in all her times there in the past, and she's going to generally be her sociable, goofy.
Okay, I mean, Dargan's going to enjoy a beer with Erebus.
Yeah.
Enjoying ale with Erebus while Aqua and Andy are performing and doing whatever things they're doing to have fun.
Right.
Just a good evening.
Yes. All the way around, and the beer is cold.
Okay, so you guys have fun at the Windy Chicken Tavern.
Okay. Awesome. And then, did we know exactly where in Green Province we were going, or roughly where? I forget.
We have a bearing, but not really.
Ophelia has given you a bearing and given you some landmarks to look for. And you can always sort of connect with her via her telepathy as you're moving to try to confirm, like, hey, is this the landmark you talked about? Okay, it is. Okay, cool. Head which way? Northeast? Okay, cool. You know, you can kind of check in with her as you go.
Okay. I mean, I guess based on being from Green Province, is there anything that Z or Andy can think of that would be like things we know to look out for, to prepare for before we leave the next day?
I mean, as is often the case, you know that the more populated areas of Green Province are safer. Mm-hmm. And as you get more into the deep forest, into the deep woods, the sort of wild animals, so to speak, which could be magical in nature, but the kind of creatures that you would encounter in the less populated areas present a danger. You know, there are a variety of different sort of creatures in the deep woods that can cause a problem, so you need to kind of be on your toes.
Watch out for drop bears.
What?
I don't know what John was making a joke that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that went. Over my head.
Aww. Is it meme worthy, John?
It is, but it's not worth pursuing.
Oh,
just being.
Okay, so as you are leaving the inn, and you're moving down the street away from the tavern. So you're moving away from the tavern.
Yeah.
You are approached by six of the Dower Guard.
Oh boy.
And just as a reminder, the Dower Guard are basically the police / military force that tend to patrol around in the capital city of Iador. So you are approached by basically these six Dower Guard, and you can't help but notice that they're all red dragonborn. And they basically kind of fan out in the street in front of you, and some of the general populace seems to get an inkling that something is wrong, and they kind of start to move to the sides of the street. And the red dragonborn in the front of the group of Dower Guard says, "There is something that you have that we want. Turn it over or we'll take it by force."
I can't quite imagine what that would be, Captain. I mean, we've just got back from a rather long night of drinking. I'm sorry. And
are they more drinking buddies?
We don't really have much on us at the moment as a result. But you are welcome to look to see what we have. I don't know what it would be. I mean, if you can tell me what it is you're looking for, we can might be able to accommodate you.
He says, "Empty out all your possessions onto the street right now."
I mean,
you see some of the people behind him start to draw short swords.
Z hands out her branches. You can see her money pouch and her quarterstaff. That's about it.
I mean, if you want to look at
a potion,
look at my undergarments. I mean, you're welcome.
I don't wear much for clothing anyway. My goodness.
You look at my dragon piece.
It would be more fun to do this with drinks.
Yes. Why are we doing this?
My sources item. Say that you should probably buy someone a drink before you ask for these things.
Turn the item over now. We'll have to take you in.
Well, can you tell me what item it is that you're looking for? We'll happily turn it over. We can't turn over something we don't know what. But here, have a look. I have no problem handing over my backpack to let him search it.
Okay, he starts rifling through it. Kind of like just like dumping things on the ground in front of him at his feet. You know, component pouch, gold, ration, stuff like that.
Yep.
And kind of like throws it to the side angrily. And points to Erebus and says, "You, empty your backpack."
If you say so. He takes it and dumps it on the...
Mic drop.
Yes. Does that satisfy your curiosity?
He kind of ruffles through it a little bit and seems frustrated and looks at Z and sees that Z is basically...
Don't threaten me with a good time.
I mean, do you have a backpack still, though? Because you don't really carry food.
She does. She just drops it open on the ground and just, okay. Yeah, she's being her saucy, sauced self, you know.
Okay. Laundry tonight.
And Aqua, I assume you carry your possessions in some sort of a satchel or backpack or something?
Yeah.
Do you submit to inspection?
I do not submit.
It is not okay.
Let's just help the nice people out, Aqua. We can go have some more drinks.
I'm quite transparent. Quite literally. I don't know what it is that they think that I have that they don't know about.
Yeah, so the lead dragonborn moves over to basically grab a hold of your pack. Do you let him grab it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so he just kind of raffles through it, doesn't find anything. He seems very frustrated, and he goes back to the group. He's maybe standing like, 10 feet away from you, and he's talking with another person. And he turns back to you and says, "You're going to have to come with me."
We don't have to go anywhere.
Why?
Captain.
We need to find this item. I know you have it somewhere. If you want to tell me where it is, then we don't have to go through this.
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can talk our way out of this thing. We are perfectly willing to accommodate with whatever it is that you need, but if you don't tell us what it is that you want, we can't give it to you. I mean, you see, this is what we have. If what you want isn't, one of these, it's a very fine flute. Are you sure it's not the flute that you want?
No. I'm sure it's not the flute.
You're sure it's not the
little
flute.
Little person.
Then,
oh, they're rude.
Maybe if you tell us what it is you're looking for, we're adventurers for hire. We would be willing to take on a job to go look for this item.
I was told they recently acquired some kind of a special magic item of some kind. And nothing here is some kind of a special magic item. It's nothing that stands out. We weren't told the exact description of what it would be, but we knew that it would be something very unusual and magical, and that it was approximately the size. And he kind of like puts his hands out and tries to like, he kind of puts his hands like in a basketball position, like he's holding a basketball. Is approximately this large in size. And nothing like that is on your person. You need to tell us where it is so we can get it.
Well, if... I'm sorry to say, Captain, but it seems like whoever... somebody is trying to pull a fast one over on your superiors. If we knew where all this false information was coming from, we might be able to nip it in the bud so that we don't end up wasting any more of your or your superior's valuable time.
Yeah, do you want to try a persuasion check, John?
Okay.
Dirty 20. Okay. He stops and thinks for a minute, and you're feeling like this person is obviously very hostile, and you're probably wondering at this point how close this person is to starting a physical confrontation. You see him sort of back off a little bit from the physical threat, but he is still maintaining a position that he's not going to leave or disconnect or let you go without trying harder to find the item, but he doesn't seem as openly hostile. So he responds to you and says, "You need to come with us back to the council building where we can talk about this further." His hand is not on his weapon, but he's insisting that you go back to the council building with these Dowager.
All right. Well, give us a moment to recollect our meager belongings here, and we can be on our way.
He steps back, and him and the rest of the Dower Guard are basically eyeing you very closely and just watching as you all gather up your things. So your plan, at least, Andy, is to continue to cooperate?
He's still thinking. He's thinking on his feet. He doesn't have a plan right now.
He's figuring this is heading towards a fight, but she's waiting to see what else Andy is going to do.
I have incredible restraint at this moment.
No one is moving to attack at the moment.
But at least we got our stuff.
Yeah.
That was my first goal. Get us our stuff rather than having it all strewn all over the street.
Your stuff is back. There's no current violence. You've just been told by the Dowager that you need to go with them. You know that the council building is a quite large building. You know that they do, they have like individual quarters for each of the council members. There's the big meeting hall. There's sort of a large foyer area. There's like administrative rooms and so forth. One of the largest area in the city with regards to the Dower Guard barracks is basically next door to the council building. You know, they have the main force of the Dower Guard right next to the council building for security purposes.
Is it far away from where we are right now?
I would say it's maybe like, I'll say it's like a 10-minute walk through the city.
Is this like those old things back in the day where you check in but you don't check out?
You don't know. You don't know. I mean, the Dower Guard have not the best reputation.
I thought we had heard some increasing stories with all the unrest of late about more people kind of being disappeared on occasion. So
it happens on occasion, and you know the Dower Guard basically throw their weight around. You know, whenever a riot happens, they seem to be excited to get together and beat up a bunch of people whenever there's a riot. Half the time they seem to, you know, instigate things when there would otherwise not be a conflict.
Yeah.
And you're honestly a little bit surprised that they haven't already just tried to get physical, but you think that maybe Andy trying to persuade them has stayed their hand a little bit. So they're not being openly hostile, but they are telling you that you need to go with them.
Good. Z is kind of swaying on her feet, being drunk, and she's going to open up her brain and say, "Ophelia, you can look, but we're already catching more flack, and I'm just going to assume that going back to the council building with the matching marks on all of us that they might find, that's probably a really bad idea, right?"
She comes into your mind, and she says, "I'm sorry that you are encountering this resistance, and if they do discover the birthmarks, if they have some magical means of knowing that you were searching for the egg in the first place, they may be able to derive something from your birthmarks. I would not advise you to go with them, but I don't want you to start a fight in the middle of the street either.
Guess we'll do what we must."
She definitely.
You're probably you're probably running out of time to do stuff, Andy, before Z.
Yeah.
I know.
Erebus is there too. He's like, oh boy, we're gonna have some heavy action.
Andy's literally sitting.
I am not drunk enough for this situation yet.
Right now.
leans on Erebus, gives him a blast, takes a sip herself.
Andy may be able to think on his feet a bit, but John can't.
So you're saying
that we need to go back to whatever facility you came from and talk to people?
Yes, that's
about
correct.
These imaginary objects that you think that we have, but we clearly do not have. Have you considered psychiatric help?
Are you trying to be smart with me, lady?
I am smart, so I do not have to try to be smart. Thank you very much.
Oh, actually, I think I might have some.
Surround them.
Z's like, oh,
I might actually have something.
They all basically encircle your group and put their hands on their weapons. And John, what is it you want to do?
Okay. Since it's, at this point, a kind of a do-or-die situation anyway, I basically, everybody's just kind of around us, so I probably couldn't only get, like, but two of them.
Probably, yeah.
But I am going to use Fae Presence.
Okay. You give them presents? Okay.
Yeah.
Specifically little winged Fae ones.
Is it pixies? No, flippin' pixies.
What is Fae Presence, John?
Fae Presence. Okay. Starting at first level, your patron bestows upon you the ability to project the beguiling and fearsome presence of the Fae. As an action, you can cause each creature in a 10-foot cube originating from you to make a wisdom saving throw against my warlock spell save. The creatures that fail the saving throw are all charmed or frightened by you until the end of my turn, my next turn.
Okay.
It's a short-term charm.
Okay.
Which I would like to attempt on the obvious captain.
Okay.
Captain Dickface.
Captain Kirk.
Captain, is this really necessary? Fey presency, whatever that is.
Okay. So this is a kind of ethereal
beauty type thing.
Okay, so do you choose if they're charmed or frightened, or
I choose if they're charmed or frightened.
Okay.
And I'm going for charmed.
Okay.
I'm sure.
And what is the charm condition? So do you have it right in front of you there?
Charmed condition.
I don't have my DM screen in front of me because we're doing Zoom.
conditions charmed.
You guys are on D&D Beyond, though. So.
A charmed creature can't attack the charmer or target the charmer with harmful spells, abilities, or effects. The charmer has advantage on any ability checks to socially interact with the creature. Essentially, he would view me as an ally for a short period of time.
Okay, gotcha. And what's the save? Wisdom?
Wisdom DC 13.
Wisdom DC 13.
Ah, meets it. Damn it.
Okay.
There's nothing in Fae Presence that says that he turns hostile or anything for failing it. It's just, does he overcome my rather impressive aura?
Yeah, he doesn't seem impressed.
Okay. Darn it.
So you're all surrounded, and he says, take them. And they all move in.
Oh.
Oh, well. I tried.
Oh wait! Dance. Can I use my big person thing?
Can you use your what, Greg?
Well, his rune knight ability has the he can use a bonus action to basically grow big.
Oh yeah, they are moving in to basically physically handle all of you. That they're not attacking. They're moving in with their hands on their swords to basically grab a hold of you and physically force you to move. So Are you responding with an attack of some kind?
Responding with violence.
If the answer is yes, we'll roll initiative. If not,
are they clumpy? Because she could cast Entangle to try to tangle them up, but that's
that would be an attack. Yeah,
for heaven's sake, right? Just let me roll initiative. Yeah.
Okay, so they try to move in to grab a hold of you guys. Are you guys resist?
I'm gonna use my big person.
He's like, sounds like you guys want free hugs.
Okay.
Yeah, when he goes a big person, he gets like advantages on like intimidation checks and things like that.
Okay.
I think.
So let's roll initiative.
Okay. Oh, right.
Can't do the Sierra initiative tracker on Zoom.
Greg, what is Erebus's initiative?
13.
And Andy.
I'm.
And Z.
20.
And Aqua.
21.
Oh!
Hey-o!
Fighting word.
Somebody's going first,
she was spicy. She's the one who picked the fight with her sharp wit.
Mmm. Yes.
Pointed banter.
Hey, all right, so...
Are you making fun of my crystalline structures? My sharp wit and my pointed banter?
I think they're awesome.
I don't know. I think she's being pretty transparent right now.
These puns are going to go forever.
Hopefully not.
So we're at the start of round one. And you have six... red dragonborn dower guard all surrounding you in close proximity. There was an attempt by Andy to charm the leader. That did not work. So you're in the middle of the street and in the capital city of Shikar. So we are starting off with Aqua, Shardling Rogue. What would you like to do? I'm trying to bounce around like there's music playing, but for me, at this particular moment, I haven't added the music yet. As I say this, the listeners will be like, well, I can hear the music, because I will have added it by then.
I am going to cast Color Spray.
Okay. But we'll say there's two of them right near you that you can get within the area of the Color Spray.
All right.
What is the saving throw?
So the saving throw is based off of looking at the campaign setting documents. It states that intelligence, wisdom, or charisma is your spellcasting ability for these spells. When you cast them, choose when you select the species. So
okay.
I'm going charisma.
Okay.
So it's just based on your modifier, right?
Correct. If you chose charisma, then the DC is like, I think it's 8 plus your charisma modifier plus your proficiency bonus.
That sounds right to me.
Okay, so 8 plus charisma modifier plus, so that would be 12. Save is 12.
And is it, is the spell itself probably has, tells you whether it's like a wisdom save or... I don't think it's based on what you're using to cast it. I think it's based on the spell.
Let's see. A dazzling array of flashing colored lights spring from your hand. The rolled 60-10. The total is how many hit points of creatures this spell can affect. Creatures in a 15-foot cone originating from you are affected in ascending order of their current hit points. Starting with the creature that has the lowest current hit points, each creature affected by the spell is blinded until the end of the next turn. Subtract each creature's hit points from the total before moving on to the next creature.
So there's no save?
It doesn't say anything about a save.
Okay.
Nope.
Then,
it's like the sleep.
It sounds like they're just blinded. depending on how much hit points you roll. Did you roll?
I did. And I rolled a total of 38.
Okay. So you get the two people, the two Daragard that are in front of you, get blinded by your color spray. That is sweet. So, do you want to describe, like you're a Sharvling, so you made a crystal, right? So why don't you give me some cool description of how this light is emanating from you?
So as this guy says, get it, get them, whatever, Aquila, sees a nice, beautiful ray of sunshine coming through the buildings and just raises up her hands and kind of does a jazz hands type thing. And the prismatic of the opalescence of her body combined with the light causes this dazzling array of just colors to just beam off in front of her in this 15-foot cone. And
awesome.
He blinds the people in front of her.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, clap.
You see there's like a couple people on the street that are watching the fight behind them are like, oh, I can't see.
Chris and the collateral damage on Sarah's character.
Blinded by the light.
Nice.
Okay.
So let's see. I'm going to say A and B are blinded. A and B. Blind. And blind. Okay. Is that your turn, Aqua?
I believe so.
Okay. So then we are on to Z, Rootfolk Monk.
So for practical purposes, what are the blinded ones are... We would have advantage on them?
I'm not sure what the blinding condition... I need to... Can somebody look it up in Indian Beyond? I should probably have a tab open when I'm playing, so I can just look it up.
A blinded creature can't see and automatically fails any ability checks that require sight. Attack rolls against the creature have advantage, and the creature's attack rolls have disadvantage.
There you go. So A, you're going to attack A and B with advantage.
For a roguey person, right? But also for a monk. Let's see here. Sure. Okay. She sees the two of them get blinded. And she's gonna swing on one of them with her quarterstaff.
Quarterstaff? Interesting.
Spins it up in the air. Yeah, that's her weapon.
Sure.
She wants to hit a little harder. She's not gonna do that with her stuff. But let's see, while I'm rustling in my dice tray, they got a caltrop too, just so I've got it ready. Okay, an advantage. So I need 2d20s.
It's so cute that I can see my little Sebastian in the video behind you.
I figured people would not mind baby watching. Okay, so she's going to swing on one of the blinded ones with the quarterstaff with advantage. And it's good that she had advantage. It's going to be AC 18 to hit.
That does connect, yes.
That's going to hit for 7.
Okay, whack with the staff.
Okay.
Takes it.
And then she's going to burn a key point and go flurry of blows. And same dude. Doink. So 2 more hits unarmed.
Okie dokie. Flurry of blows.
Yes. Trying to drop the dice. Alright. Let's see here. She is gonna roll AC.
AC dirty dirty misses.
AC 20 to hit.
That is.
For 5.
5. That bloodies A.
Okay. And then the second tree limb swings around. I am brute. I rolled
Lost
a 1.
Like.
Everybody still has inspiration, so I can't give someone my inspiration to recover my inspiration. On my second dice.
You only get it like with like three,
with
four
the primary dice. Right? Okay, so I'm going to hit for AC 20 again.
That hits again.
I'm going to hit for seven.
Seven
bludgeoning. And then, real drunk like, because she just used her flurry of blows. She's going to tipsy sway, and the giant swingy tree kind of like swoops herself back and gets disengaged because of her drunken master technique, and she's going to kind of back away and make room so others can attack the nice blinded people.
Okay, so that last hit brought that Dire Guard to 0 hit points.
Okay.
So is it lethal damage? Usually I don't ask this, but like it's been coming up for some reason as being relevant lately.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I know what I would do, but...
And we certainly know what I would do.
He is not that Haiti yet in this fight, so she'll knock him out. Knock him cold. Someone else wants to finish later, though. That's on them. Yep.
All right, so
we know what you would do, Mister. I'm going to electrocute the guy that we're trying to interrogate.
But it worked. It did what it was supposed to do.
An alignment hit for that, though. You know that.
So, Erebus, Dragonborn Fighter, you are up.
Okay, so I have a question. So I have my bonus action, which allows me to use Giant's Might, which makes me like the Super Mario in the game. Like I go doo 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 and get larger.
Awesome, awesome.
So I pop up into this larger guy.
Very large Dragonborn, the large size.
Yes. So awesome. I'm like, pew! And yes. And all right, so I click on use of that. And now does that negate two attacks or is that in place of one of the attacks? Because I've never had a bonus action before.
Normally you would use your bonus action to make a second offhand attack. So you don't have that option now. So you can make just one regular attack.
Okay.
Is he a two-weapon fighter?
Yes.
Correct.
But that... I'm sorry. I'm still learning fighter myself.
No. Usually you would use a bonus action to attack with that offhand.
Oh, right. Okay.
And he just used a bonus action.
He doesn't have second attack yet. All right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes, he does not have multi-attack. Or extra attack, yes. That is correct.
Okay, so... Let me roll the damage.
So do you get extra damage if you hit with this guard?
Yes, I get a d6 extra damage.
Awesome, awesome. So what is your attack roll?
All right. A natural one.
Oh! You're not used to how heavy this giant sword is now. And you miss with it.
So busy getting engorged that you can't concentrate.
Whoa. You know, blood loss is a thing.
Yeah.
If I was doing trailers, I'd be making timestamps right now.
Fell on my sword.
All right, so you get really big and engorged and then miss with your tip. Okay. So... then it is the Dire Guard. So let's see. So B is blind, and just swings their sword in front of them and doesn't hit anything. So let's see. So we will have C is going to move up and attack Andy with a short sword. Let's see. That is AC 20, Andy.
AC 20. I don't have shield yet, do I? No, I don't. Then that is going to be a hit.
Okay. That is five damage. Five, I think it's slashing damage. Okay. So then D is, let's see. D is going to attack the Root Folk Monk. AC 9 is probably not going to do it.
That's done this.
And then E is going to attack Erebus, or Dragonborn. Let's see.
That dice I rolled, by the way, was the official KOR dice, so that's never happened to me before with that dice.
Mean tonight.
That's what all the guys say.
That's funny. So
he is going to attack Erebus.
This giant.
Is he 9 again on the giant dragonborn?
Miss.
And then Aqua. I have one attack on her. On the Sharding Rogue. AC 18?
That hits.
Okay.
Sorry. You take, I had to unmute myself.
That's right. You take 5 slashing damage from the short sword.
Owie.
All right. And then we are on to Andy, our halfling bard warlock.
This spell is not completely useless yet. So I have... Halfling Nimbleness, which lets me move through the space of any creature that is a size larger than me.
Okay.
So, since I don't... What I'd like to do is position myself so that I can get as many people into a sleep spell as possible.
What's the area?
The area is creatures within 20 feet of a point, a 20-foot radius.
Is it creatures of your choice or all creatures?
All creatures affected in ascending order of hit points, so that's why okay. I want to try to clip as many as I can without getting my allies in.
So, I will say choose C, D, E, or F, and I will add the blinded enemy A in there so you can get 2. There's one on each of you, and then there's one that's just swinging wildly that's blind.
Okay.
So you can get the blind one, and then one of the ones that's on one of you.
So I can't ignore... Oh, the blind one's about to become unblind anyway. Well, if I can only get 2, I can only get 2. It's okay. At least takes 2 out of the fight. And none of the others have taken damage yet.
Correct.
Might as well go for C. Why not?
Okay.
And I need to roll up. 8. So unless I roll really crappy on these.
You might.
Come on, I don't.
Eighteen hit points worth. Okay, so they're all at max. They all have the same hit points right now. So, would your preference be to put the one to sleep that is in front of you?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so the one in front of you falls asleep.
Okay, so
the blinded one is still waving its sword around, not knowing what's going on.
Okay, so they have more than 9, but less than 18 hit points. Okay.
AC tracker!
Nothing.
Okay. Is that turn, Andy?
That will have to be...
Do you roll for a wild surge? No, I'm just kidding.
Can I?
No.
He's like, please? we miss having wild surges.
Yeah, that's fine.
I will give Miss Rogue a Bardic Inspiration.
Okay. Is that a D6 at this level?
That is a D6 at this level.
Okay. Cool.
Go, Aqua. You can do it. You can do it. Go, Aqua.
There's your inspiration, Aqua.
I don't know what that really inspires me to do.
Maybe he had his dingle dong a lot when he was saying that.
Oh, jeez.
He's a lot shorter than me. I probably wouldn't even see it.
Pinky winky.
Oh, no.
Poor Andy. Sarah's going to put a smile on her face, though.
I guess they don't call him a halfling for nothing.
My wife is almost hysterical. The DM is super mature. Okay, so let's go back up to top of round two. And we are with Aqua, our Shardling Rogue.
Aqua the Shardling Rogue. Oh, what is Aqua going to do? I should have been thinking about this. Well, the one that is blinding, still blinded, I'm gonna go after and
okay, you have advantage on the attacks.
I'm gonna go ahead and use that advantage and add my sneak attack to the first one with my rapier.
Okie doke.
My rapier.
Go for it, Crystal Lady.
That'll be AC a 19.
19 does hit.
And that would be for 8 piercing damage.
That bloodies the blind darker.
Did that roll my... Yeah, it added the... Wait, what did I just tell you?
8.
8? Plus 2 sneak attack damage.
Okay,
so
even
10
more,
total.
Even more bloody.
And then she will do a beautiful pirouette around and come at him with one of her shard daggers and attempt to stab him in the kidney.
Okay. Just because you were clarifying this in another session, Sarah, does she identify as female or did you want to stay neutral?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I keep calling her instead of they because I'm an idiot and I don't think AC8's gonna hit.
That's okay. I say her because you're her. So
yeah,
I was just curious. It's totally fine. However you want to do it. And
I'm used to saying she and her that I.
Okay. So you said AC8.
Yeah.
You said? Okay.
I don't think it's gonna hit.
No. So you missed with the offhand.
So I missed the kidney.
The blind guy is just like doesn't know what's going on. Does that last for a certain number of rounds? I'm curious if it comes out of
one round, but I don't remember the end.
Casting act duration is one round. So I'm guessing it ends at the end of my turn, right?
Yeah. Once you're done, he'll be no longer blinded.
He will no longer be blinded.
Correct. Okay.
By my awesomeness.
Is that the end of Aqua's turn?
That would be the end of Aqua's turn.
Oh, okay. So that Dower Guard is no longer blind. Shakes it off. Okay. So then it goes to Z, our root folk monk.
Well, she will swing on the guy with the quarterstaff who is bloody. Straight up the staff. Ooh, she's gonna roll a 1. That's gross.
Dodges out of the way of your attack.
So then she is going to do Flurry of Blows again.
Okay.
And I guess on this one, maybe she'll burn her inspiration to get advantage on the attack. Because why not? Because I keep rolling so many ones, I'd be getting it back. Hang on.
Okay.
So this is going to be Unarmed Strike. Better, so I'm gonna hit AC 22.
That hits.
It'll be 7.
7, is that lethal damage?
Knock him out again.
Okay.
And she'll swing out with a limb at whatever the next closest guy is with her second unarmed strike.
Okay, we'll call that person D.
She'll roll a 2. That's great. I don't think that's going to do it.
Can't even get an inspiration off of that one. That's just
the dice being cruel. Right?
So you're missing the last one? Is that turn?
Yes, that is turn.
Okay. Alright, so that was Z. So we are on to Erebus Dragonborn Fighter, who is very, very large.
Yeah. All right, so attack number one, come on. All right. It's not promising. All right, so it's going to be 7 to hit.
7 to hit does not hit.
Okay. Attack number 2.
Deflects off the studded leather armor.
All right, so that one is going to be 22 to hit.
A little more life. Okay.
22 does hit.
Okay. And that is for 13 damage.
13 damage. And let's see, where's that thing?
Just short of a critical, too.
Wow, 13 damage. That bloodies that guy in one hit.
Nice.
This giant, it's a long sword, right? Or short sword?
Short sword. Two.
Giant short sword. Okay. Is that Erebus' turn?
Yes.
Okay. So there is one on Z that will attack back at Z. This is the Dower Guard's turn.
Okay.
AC 9 again for some strange reason.
Yes.
And then one on Erebus that just got clobbered for a lot of damage.
That guard's attack seemed kind of wooden.
AC 20 on Erebus.
That will hit.
For 5 slashing.
That's going to just make me mad.
Three hugs.
And then let's see. We'll have another one attacking on we'll say it's going to move over to help. We're going to have F move over to help with the giant dragonborn. So F is also going to attack Erebus. AC 21.
That will hit also.
For 5 slashing.
I'm getting very angry now.
Okay, so that was the Dower Guard, the Red Dragonborn Dower Guard. That's their turn. And now we are on to Andy, Halfling Bard Warlock. There's one on Z and there's two on Erebus. One of the ones on Erebus is badly bloodied.
are there two bloodied?
Nope. Unless I missed something, there's two undamaged and one bloodied.
And one unconscious.
He knocked out the other one who was bloody.
He did get knocked out. Okay.
Yeah, there's only 3 in the fight right now, and it started off with 6. You haven't killed any of them, which, you know, I think is probably better than if you had killed them.
It's always tricky when you pick a fight with the tower.
I'm mapping a little bit in my head. Math says this is a good idea. But let's see how good my math is.
Okay.
Okay. I, at least one guard bloodied, then.
Yeah.
Andy thinks it's a good idea to go ahead and cast sleep again, okay. This time on everybody.
On the entire party?
Yep. If math is right, it should affect them before it affects us.
Okay. So you just drop a sleep spell right in the middle of the entire fight, affecting all the creatures. And how much damage do you
roll? From least hit points up.
Least hit points up, yep.
Which, according to my math, should be all the guards first. Let's see. So that's 26 hit points of sleep spell.
Okay. So what are the hit points of the party members right now? John, what do you got for hit points?
I have 19.
You have 19. And Kate, what are Z's hit points right now?
24.
24, 19, 24. And Greg, what is Erebus's hit points?
18.
18. And Sarah, what are Akma's hit points?
Also a 19.
Also a 19, okay. And what was it? What was the total, John? Total hit points?
I just cleared the dice.
You said 26, I thought.
26? Okay.
Okay.
I concur.
Yeah, 26, okay.
All right, so two of the Dragonborn go to sleep. Two of the Dragonborn go to sleep. There's still one remaining. One of the ones on, one of the ones on Erebus. Sleep and sleep. Okay, so, yeah, because that's not enough in that pool to affect the other one. But again, more of these Dargard fall to the ground asleep from Andy's spell. Is that your turn, Andy?
So there's only one left up in the rain. Let's give our giant dragon friend bardic inspiration as well.
Okay.
Nice.
Erebus has inspiration.
Oh, Erebus, go.
And that's a
D4?
D6. D6. Oh, go, Erebus, mm-hmm. Go. Yeah. Go, Erebus, go.
For the next 10 minutes, you can add that to one ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
Okay.
You can add it after you make the roll, but before you know the result.
Okay.
Okay. So let's see here. Okay. So this Dower Guard that is still fighting with Erebus. You hear like this thud sound, and the Dower Guard seems to kind of like freeze and is like barely moving and is kind of stunned. And you hear thump thump again, and then you see kind of stepping out from behind that Dargard as you see Dargan. Z's Dragonborn mentor there. Who apparently had run up behind this person, behind the Dargard, and it stunned him, and then hit him once for damage. So the last remaining Dargard is stunned and has taken a little bit of damage. And that's at the end of round two. And so then we go to round three. So we're back up to Akma Shardling Rogue. We have this one stunned and slightly damaged Dower Guard remaining. With Dargan standing very close by.
I will attack him!
Okay. Attack him!
AC 12?
AC 12 misses.
Just
outside.
Ooh, with advantage?
Oh, well, that was with advantage?
Yeah, because
it was
stunned.
He stunned.
Yeah, stunned.
Oh, then I need to roll another one.
Because darkness stunned.
Set phasers for stunning.
With stunning strike.
That would be an AC 23.
That hits.
A little better.
Hit a little bit better. So for 5 piercing damage and 11 sneak attack.
Oh.
Is this
non-lethal sneak attack?
You think Akma knows how to hold back?
So no.
No.
Okay.
Oh no.
So that one drops to the ground dead.
Don't y'all go around blaming me this time. Can't blame me.
He said I wasn't smart.
So the combat is over, and Dargan says, perhaps you should leave the area.
I think we should go. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you leave the area.
Run away.
I don't know if I can turn off my big move in it or not.
Usually you can dismiss.
Usually you can. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so I shrink back to normal.
So Erebus goes from large back down to medium, and you exit the area. So, are you going to stay? I mean, it's sort of in the evening. Are you going to stay overnight and then leave in the morning for Green Province? Is that the plan?
I think that would be a problem.
I mean, I guess, how confident are we that we can sneak out of town?
Well, I mean, with this new development, like you don't, I mean, you didn't even see if you stay long enough to see if other Dower Guard arrived. I mean, your assumption is that most likely some Dower Guard are going to find out about it, and there'll probably be descriptions of all of you. So do with that information what you will. You can try to disguise yourselves or not. It's up to you. If you leave in the morning, it might be better than leaving, let's say, in the middle of the afternoon. You tell me what you want to do.
Well, if we leave now, we might be able to get out before our descriptions get passed around, but it may already be too late for that, seeing as how the guards are the ones that came after us in the first place. They
should probably
be looking for us.
Put on some cloaks and hoods and stuff. Not that, I mean, I'm 7
well,
feet
then,
tall, but...
I think we should leave under the coat of darkness.
I am actually leaning towards Erebus' suggestion. I suggest we take out a room at an inn and leave tonight.
Okay. Sounds rest right away and basically leave and cover our darkness.
Well,
are you trying to get a short rest, John? Is that what you're doing?
Mostly I'm thinking, let's see, I do this in character. So like, well, what I'm thinking is if they're keeping an eye out for us, then they'll probably gonna know wherever we decide to hunker down. So if we make them think that we're hunkering down for the night and then leave, then they'll be looking for us in the wrong place.
It depends how they're looking for us.
Well, that's just it. We don't know. So we're making some assumptions here, but that's what we have to go on.
I mean, the Dower Guard knew who you were.
Right.
So regardless of the fact that you fought a bunch of Dower Guard, the Dower Guard are still going to know what you look like. They probably still have a description of you.
Right. So we need to leave under the cover of darkness
tonight.
Probably
be better to get out of town in the dark and find a spot in the more populated, safe area of the woods to kind of hide away and
more
rest.
Populated area of the woods.
Camp
you
out.
Say.
I mean, the more
fine
rural areas,
for a tree
the more
think.
The less populated and more forested area of the forest.
Right. Well, less populated is more big monsters that might bug us while we try to sleep. So trade offs. Andy and I are both from Green Province, I think, right? So we can hopefully figure out a way to tuck away up in a tree or something and give everybody a chance to catch some rest. So, are we...
What do Erebus and Aqua think of that?
I think that's fine. We need
I'm
to leave as soon as possible.
To sleep this point, yeah.
Okay, so you're going to leave Shikar... and head into Green Province where you're going to camp overnight?
Yeah, try to find a spot that's less risky, but hopefully not easily found. Strike that balance, yeah.
Okay. So we will say that you are able to... You are able to get through Shikar, and Dargan actually goes with you, and he sort of... ushers you through some buildings and through some like back alleys and things like that, and he basically helps to escort you out as it's getting dark to try to avoid patrols of Dower Guard, who already had your description anyway.
That's what I figured.
And he leads you safely to the edge of the city. So you head out into the woods in the early part of night to camp. So let's do some stars and wishes. Right there. Let's see. Stars and wishes. Where's my sheet? Here's my sheet. So stars are things you liked, and wishes are things you'd like to see. So top of my list here is Greg. Do you have any stars and or wishes that are, these are totally voluntary?
I would say the stars would be Andy's much better diplomatic solution this time around. So I did not have to get involved per my own purview to assist in making something happen. So kudos to him for making it worth our while to be able to not get directly attacked immediately while we were there. And as far as wishes, I don't think I have any of those right now.
Okay. Just writing that down. John, do you have any stars and or wishes for this session?
Well, I do want to thank everybody for giving me the chance to try a diplomatic solution, even though I still need much practice on it. As for wishes, I wish I had a couple of thousand extra gold pieces, but beyond that, I think I'm okay.
What is it that you're why is it that you would like to have the extra money? What is it you're thinking of?
Because money. Everybody likes money.
You don't have something specific in mind?
That's what I say, money. I just want money. I'm joking.
Wow.
No, I don't have any particular wishes.
Okay. Kate, do you have any stars and or wishes?
Let's see here. Stars. It was definitely fun to encounter a character from her past and have him be informative and helpful in dealing with our current situations. So that was very nice. Thank you. And then wishes. I think. Feel like our role play dynamic for these tougher situations where it's like, do we manage to avoid fighting or not, that's still maturing as a group, and that's kind of fun to see. I don't know, probably just that we get to see everybody's smiling faces in person next time, and that we have a daughter who's used to sleeping without a pacifier, so we're a little more rested. Parents wish.
Sarah, do you have any stars and or wishes?
Stars, I really very much appreciated Chris's persona of your friend from your past. I really liked the voice and everything, and I liked Andy's approach to try to appease the guards. I kind of enjoyed everybody dumping their packs all over the ground. Like, whatever, guys, we don't have what you're looking for. Wishes. That I remember to make jazz hands a thing for my color spray.
Jazz shards.
Jubilee style.
Jazzy hand.
Love it.
Cool. Let's see, my stars and wishes. I did like Andy trying to take a role play situation and sort of try to use persuasion. And, I tried to allow it to have an effect on the situation, even though it's weird because I feel like half the party really wants to fight and half the party is trying to negotiate. And that's an interesting dynamic to see kind of go back and forth. I was also happy that I was able to bring Kate's or Z's mentor in some fashion or another and then use him in the fight a little bit. I almost forgot to use him in the fight. So I was glad I got him in there. Wishes. I don't know that I have any particular wishes at the moment. I think I'm good on that.
Good session.
Yeah, it was fun, and we'll pick up from the woods on the edge of Green Promise next time. So let's say goodnight to the listeners.
Good night.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review anywhere this podcast can be found. Our social media links, plus additional content, can be found on our website at knightsofroleplay.com. please tell your friends about Knights of Roleplay, an adventuring podcast, and spread the word through social media. Your help and support are greatly appreciated.